You're listening to Bigfoot Live, starring Thomas Gardy, the world's most respected authority on the phenomena known as Bigfoot. Sit back and relax as we take you on a journey into the world of the unknown. Believer or skeptic, man or woman, you will be mesmerized by real people telling real descriptions about real encounters. Fasten your seatbelts, America. It's reality radio at its finest, and it starts now.
In 1967, my whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was gonna challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now. He's moving right now. He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television in Tyler, Longview. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical. When I came out here, I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced them I have to change my opinion on Bigfoot.
I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
Well, I landed on the ground, I kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
Right now. At www.searchingforbigfoot.com.
Out in the swamps, what you think I've seen? Something strange, you know. Sasquatch sitting on the side of his knee, and he was talking to Moxie and Joe. Well, the party they're gonna have out in the St. John's Swamps. Sasquatch doing a brand new dance, and he called it the Bigfoot Stomp.
Well, good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Marco Bill on the Bigfoot Live broadcast. And folks, it's that time of the week again. It's time for the Wednesday evening Bigfoot Live radio show with our host, Mr. Tom Descarty. And now, everybody, the man who put the big back into Bigfoot, our host and renowned Bigfoot researcher, Mr. Tom Biscardi. Good evening, Tom. How are you tonight?
My good friend, if I was any better, I'd have to see two doctors, not one. I'm just top draw, my fine co-host. And the big question is, how are you feeling?
Well, I have five doctors, and they're all saying I'm pretty good.
Well, I like that endorsement, I've got to tell you, Bill, because sure as hell have missed you in the last couple of weeks, knowing that you were in pretty bad shape and you've made a rebound miraculously, and thank you.
Well, last week was our birthday, our sixth birthday, and I spent it in the hospital. I was really dismayed.
Well, did you ever stop and think about that? Number one, 6 years, what you just said. We've been on the air for 6 years. And everybody thought we were just a passing fancy, huh, Bill?
Yeah, a fart in the whirlwind.
Yeah, there you go. A fart in the whirlwind. Now we're in how many different countries around the world?
About 34.
34 countries around the world. And in excess of 4.5 million listeners.
Yeah, our podcast. How big, Tom? I don't publish it a lot, but our podcast is usually among the top 50 every week. The top 50 podcasts of the fastest growing, all that.
Oh, and the United States.
Yes.
That's incredible.
Well, actually, it's global. It's the podcast is a global type of thing. So they probably have somewhere near 12,000 different people and or different things. We're in the 50 category. That's pretty darn good, I think.
Well, you know, for a passing fancy and someone just supposed to be a kick in the wind and here today and gone tomorrow, I think it's a big milestone, 6 years, don't you?
Oh, yeah, I think it is.
And you know what? When I stop and think about it, and you know, all the listeners around the globe, we're going to be doing an anniversary show here probably next week. We've been just so busy with corporate stuff. And by the way, I'm leaving with the team. Got the dates confirmed. And we're leaving on the 10th of October, a day after my birthday, ladies and gentlemen. Those of you who know me, the 9th of October is when this old chap was born. And we're leaving. Our first stop is going to be in Browning, Montana. We're going to be seeing our good family up there of the north, Bruce Schilt and the Blackfeet Indians. We're going to be filming up there. And by the way, this is Bigfoot Lives 4. Now remember, we are award-winning filmmakers. We've entered Bigfoot Lives, Bigfoot Lives 2, and Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax, and they've all won Best Documentary. Not many people can hail and say something like that. So this is going to be an expedition that's going to be filmed in and for in the United States and for our new movie, Bigfoot Lives 4. So if you've got anything going on, you know we're leaving October 10th. We'll put you in our schedule. But let me give you the dates. From the 10th of October to the 15th, we'll be in Browning, Montana. From October 17th to the 20th, we'll be out there in Fayetteville, Arkansas. From the 21st of October to the 23rd, we'll be out there in the Choctaw, Mississippi Reservation with our friends out there. October 24th and 25th, we'll be in Manchester, Tennessee. October 26th to the 29th, we're going to be out there with Enterprise, Alabama, and going down the Pea River in the swamps out there, bordering Florida with our good friend Chuck Creel. And incidentally, he was in the emergency room. He is a volunteer, or actually he is a fireman. And on routine maneuvers today, he zigged when he should have zagged. So Kelly, I called him, and Kelly said she was in the emergency room. She'll keep us abreast of what's going on. Our prayers go out to Chuck. And then October 30th to November 1st, we'll be out there in Bryson City, North Carolina. So, again, anybody out there having anything going on, give us a call. We'll put you on our list. You'll be in the movie. And I'm looking for a videographer, okay? I'm looking for a new videographer, somebody who is not afraid of the brush, not afraid of the swamps, and not afraid of the elements out there, okay? The chiggers, the snakes, and everything else that goes along with it. I'm looking for somebody who'll come along with us. We'll show them the areas, we'll show them the trade, and share all of our secrets with them, and they'll be a part of making a Bigfoot Lives 4. You know, I got to tell you guys, it's not often that I run across a new eatery, a new restaurant, a new place to talk about that reminds me of home and my ethnic background. Well, I got to tell you, I was just this week recently down in the Los Angeles area, and I have a find of all finds, ladies and gentlemen. Some people find gold, some find silver, some find platinum. I found the ultimate. I found a restaurant that dates back a long time ago and has my heritage, the Italian heritage behind it, and it's called Marino's. It's on Melrose, and I met the owner, and here's a guy, his name is Mario, and he's continuing on his father's legacy. And he's right down the street from all the studios, Paramount and what have you, and I'm sure if those walls and seats could talk, they could tell you a bunch of stars that ate there and drank there and were totally satisfied. Ladies and gentlemen, I for one, endorse this restaurant. I had some food that I haven't eaten in years. And without any further ado, I'm going to get Mario Marino on the phone. We're going down there to Los Angeles and talk about this bill of fare and his cuisine that is just delightful. Mario, you out there?
Yes, I am. Hi, how are you?
Hey, I'm well. And thank you again for the splendid hospitality that our party received from you and your staff. The cuisine was just off the charts, my friend. Ladies and gentlemen, I have not had beef brujol in years. This man serves it. Beef brujol is, well, let me tell you, tell him what it is there, Mario.
Well, it's first and foremost, we have to kind of consider that the meat that my father would always get is nothing but the best meat. It's a hormone free. I mean, yeah, the animal of course has its own, you know, has its shots for all that because of whatever rules and regulations, of course. But it's grass fed, and then it's fed corn 8 months prior, 6 to 8 months prior. So the meat is just absolutely excellent. With that said, that continuing on for the preparation, what we do is we actually just slightly pound it. We then add, you know, the old Italian recipe, the Neapolitan, because that's where we're from. We just add pine nuts and raisins and a little stab of egg, some parmigiano. And then we just roll it, pan sear it in a hot pan, and then splash of red wine. And then we just put it on we put the tomato sauce in it, and we actually put it in. We put the flame at very, 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 very low, and we close up the restaurant and go to sleep. The next morning at 8 o'clock when I come in, it's done.
You know, I got to tell you something. It's called, if this was smell-o-vision, I'm smelling it right now as you're describing it, my friend. You know,
tell me about it.
Ladies and gentlemen, he has a chicken Vesuvio dish there, and he has. Tell everybody about the mozzarella and the heirloom tomatoes and the way you drizzle that oil and vinegar on top, and then the roasted bell peppers with the olives. Oh my God! And don't leave out that so finely delicate zucchini, the squash. Ladies and gentlemen, this is a dish that I haven't eaten in maybe 40 years, okay? Start off with that one. Tell them about that.
Sure. Well, what you had mentioned was the chicken Vesuvio. Again, you know, as I mentioned to you earlier, our meats, the quality of the meat. The second of all, our vegetables are all organic. Some of them are even kosher organic. So that could just tell you the quality of the vegetables. Our pastas, most of them are all homemade. And let's see, our chickens are free-range chickens. So bear in mind, when you have such great, great, great foundations of a dish, it's just really kind of hard to not make a dish taste great. But answering your question, the chicken Vesuvio, that is a dish that I am 47 years old, and believe you me, I was raised with that dish, and I will say no to caviar, but I will not say no to chicken Vesuvio because it is absolutely phenomenal. It's a half of a chicken cut with it's cooked with its skin, with its skin and bone, garlic, splash of white wine, a little bit of red hot pepper flakes. And, it's not pre-cooked. Nothing is pre-cooked here. So you're going to wait 20 minutes in the making only. But when you have it, believe you me, the first two pieces of the chicken you're going to be eating with a fork and a knife simply because it's too hot in temperature because it just came out of the stove. But afterwards, when it starts cooling off in your plate, I will promise you, I'll bet you a dollar, you'll be using your hands and mouth to just sit there and just to eat it with your hands.
Hold on, brother. The corner of my eye, I noticed you watched me when I picked up those pieces and I was eating them with my fingers and I was licking my fingers after it was done. You saw that, didn't you?
Absolutely, but that's the way you eat it.
Oh, gosh.
That's the way it's supposed to be.
Ladies and gentlemen, and he's not kidding. This dish has a taste to it that you almost want to eat the bones. That's the little bit that's in there, okay? It has, the chicken is caramelized. How do you do that, Mario? How does it get so caramelized that, my God, you think you had candy in it.
Well, first of all, you use, again, our garlic that my brother Sal and my father, you know, they go downtown every morning. Well, my father obviously used to, not anymore. He passed away 3 years ago. But my brother is the one responsible. He goes downtown, and him and I both pick up the all the vegetables. The garlic is, you know, just nothing but its best essence. It's when it's good garlic, it's not that offensive taste. And you just put it in a very, very, very hot pan. So you're searing it, and you're keeping its essence in there, and you don't let it linger. You're not boiling it. You're not boiling garlic, but you're actually searing the garlic, and that's how it becomes caramelized.
Just amazing. And ladies and gentlemen, without any further ado, please, Mario, tell them that the delicate taste of the zucchini little circles. Would you tell them what that is?
Yeah, absolutely. The zucchini, those are zucchini scapece, old 17th century Neapolitan recipe. You get the zucchinis. My father always used to air dry them. In other words, he would cut them, leave them in the pan for about, depending on the size of the zucchini, about half a day on a pan where they would dry up a little bit, and then not deep fry them, but he would get a pan with a little bit of olive oil, cook them in when they're nice and gold. Then he puts them on a special like a cheesecloth to suck up all the rest of the little olive oil that this, and then they stay kind of crispy as you taste it. He then gets a little bit of garlic, mint, and balsamic vinegar, this reduced by 12-year-old balsamic vinegar, and just tosses everything together. And it's done, it's tossed and it's done at the minute, so you don't get that bitterness of the aged balsamic. But because it's done at the moment, it's just absolutely stunning. And another thing as well as stunning, you mentioned earlier the caprese and the one with the anchovies. Again, you know, sounding repetitive, but the tomatoes are the heirloom tomatoes. These are an amazing, amazing vegetable, which are, you know, there's so many varietals of tomatoes. There's over 200 varietals of tomatoes. The ones that you had that night were the Cherokee red tomatoes. And what we've done was we did the organic basil. Believe it or not, most people don't even go crazy over basil, but we do, being Neapolitan. And we'd get the basil, the little bit of the heirloom, we had the Cherokee tomatoes, and then we had you had it with the burrata, which is even softer. And you just sprinkle a little extra virgin olive oil and a little bit of salt and pepper and balsamic if you want, and the whole thing just melts in your mouth.
Unbelievable. Ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you something. I tasted it. The mozzarella that he had, where do you get that? Do you make your own?
We don't make the ricotta. We actually have this company who actually makes it for us, because we the ricotta we make ourselves. We make the ricotta. It's an old recipe that my father always makes, and he would come in, and that's for the cheesecake that we use and for other items. And what we do is with the ricotta, we actually we get it and we actually make it, put it in a cheesecloth, and let it wait, and we let it drain, and then we use it for our ricotta and our cannolis. But the mozzarella we actually get from this local, small, very small company who makes it, and they're just absolutely stunning.
They're phenomenal, phenomenal. Yeah. I've eaten mozzarella, polio, I've eaten precious, I've eaten homemade from a lot of people.
Right.
That I.
Well, you know, of course, you know, there's, yes, you do. And with that said in mind, if we were to go in Italy right now, and we were like do a Captain Spock and beam us over there, the mozzarella, it never sees a refrigerator. The moment it goes into a refrigerator, it solidifies. It goes, to whatever temperatures, and it changes the taste of the mozzarella and of the burrata. We have we're lucky where we have this very wonderful man who comes in and brings the mozzarella and the burrata almost every morning, mostly every morning. And what we do is we keep it, where in some place very cool, so it doesn't tamper with its actual taste. You know, and it's very, very, very good. That's why it melts.
Yeah, it is, ladies and gentlemen. I got to tell you something. You know me when it comes to my Italian cuisine or food in particular, especially my heritage food. I was in awe about this place, not knowing it. I got to confess, you know, I'm a food junkie watching the Travel Channel and Food in Paradise, and that's where I first saw our friend Mario with some of the dishes. And he did tell you that he makes all of his pastas fresh, because also with my meal, he did the old Sunday gravy with some fresh fettuccine. Mario, tell everybody.
The fettuccine, if I remember correctly, Mr. Biscotti, actually we're just chatting, and as you were waiting for your chicken to be cooked, I actually took you to the back and you saw my boys, Andrea. You saw him making the fettuccine right in front of you. So, you know, again, it's semolina, Chino eggs, nothing but the best ingredients. And, again, you know, when you make fresh fettuccine, you just need a little bit. You don't need grande, everything so big. Just a little bit just to tease you, to get that great taste. The ricotta you had on top was the fresh ricotta we had. And, by the way, I saw you doing the little scarpetta over there with the little bread. Let's not forget our bread. You know, the bread that you were having in there was,
yes, you did. You caught me again. Oh, and boy, I'm getting the evil eye here, because I didn't know I was running so late into our next guest's time. But you know what? I'm passionate. I have a passion for great food, great cuisine. Tell everybody out there where you're located. First of all, how many years you've been there?
My father and my mother opened Marina Restaurant in 1983. This location is only 29 years old. My father old veteran of Marina of Los Angeles. He opened his first restaurant on Sunset Strip with this wonderful woman, with this wonderful gentleman. He now does espresso machines with Pasquini, but their first restaurant was Ambrogio, which was the first restaurant in 1957 on Sunset Strip. In the 60s, it was Martoni's on Cahuenga. In the 70s, it was Marquis on Sunset, the Martoni's Marquis on Sunset. And then the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s, and as long as I live, I will keep my father's tradition going. He was a wonderful man, and my mother's an amazing woman. They've taught the three of us nothing but the best, to stick to authenticity, to stick to, you know, to be loyal. And they stuck us to our roots, our being Italian, you know, to follow tradition, to not let, don't be scandalous, you know, and just be quiet, be humble, and... Just look after people. You know, my father always used to say, he goes, son, he goes, remember one thing, you are not feeding them, but they are feeding you. So with that said and done, I think I've pretty much, you know, told you what my mentality is. And when I have the pleasure and honor of meeting a single gentleman who comes in for dinner, who comes into my parents' family bed restaurant, and I see him coming in and he eats, and I see the enthusiasm that you did, to me, and it makes it all worth the fact of me getting up at 5, 6 o'clock in the morning and going to sleep at 12 o'clock at night. Well, it's rewarding to most people.
Job well done, my friend. Now, where are you located, and can you give out your phone number in case people want to stop by and
sure.
talk to you? And
absolutely. My phone number is 323, area code, and it's 466-8812. If they'd like, they could actually get a little hint of what we're really about and whatnot in terms of the of everything else. And, you know, they could just see our website. They would see my dad do his famous ricotta cheesecake, because in his honor, I actually kept his picture on the website. And without a doubt, it will still remain there. And the website is www.marino.com. M-A-R-I-N-O, and then Ristorante, spelled the Italian way, which is R-I-S-T-O-R-A-N-T-E at yahoo.com. And we're located at 6001 Melrose Avenue in the heart of Hollywood. And we've been there for 30 years. We're very quiet. We don't sit there and toot nobody's horn. We're an eatery, and that's all we stick to. Who you are, what you do, is none of my business.
Attaboy, I'm proud of that. Now listen, Marco, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to do a link on our website to his restaurant. Can you do that?
Sure.
All right. So this way, Anybody wants to go and look at the menu and look what he's got on there, peruse it, they'll know exactly what they got. My fine friend, I can't wait to come down to Los Angeles again and to visit you and your fine establishment, and thank you for your great hospitality.
I thank you, and I hope to serve you again, Mr. Biscotti. And Marco Bill, I was overhearing, you know, your most of yours anniversary. We'll have a wonderful 6th anniversary. I see you're going to be very busy for the next couple of weeks, so I wish you nothing but the best endeavors. And you definitely made a fan of me. I mean, because I've been listening to your radio station, and it's quite fun.
Well,
let me tell you, when
some hell of a bunch of good stories coming up here. And by the way, I'm going to tell you this: when we leave October 10th, I think we're going to make a little detour and stop by you and have a bon voyage meal at your establishment.
I would love to have the pleasure of serving all of you.
God bless you, my friend. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much, Mr. Biscotti. And Marco Bell, God bless. Thank you for all your help. And I'm looking forward and having the pleasure to spoil you like I spoiled this gentleman over here.
Thank you, Mario.
It is a pleasure.
Bye-bye. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Mario Marino down there at Marino's legendary, legendary Italian ristorante. Unbelievable. You get a chance, you're in the area, stop by. Tell them Bigfoot sent you. Let's go to pay some bills on a commercial air, Marco.
In August 2008, there was an announcement that was heard around the globe. A promise of the end to an age-long mystery and deception that played out on the world stage. Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. Now, for the first time ever, see with your own eyes and hear the true behind-the-scenes story of the hoax that gripped the world. Featuring original, never-before-seen footage, available now at searchingforbigfoot.com.
One, they're very sick people, but you know what bothers me more than anything, Megan? These guys were the law.
And we're back, Tom.
All right, Bill, I got to tell you, after talking about that food, it just made my... I was hungry as hell. So I just went and got a little piece of something, and a little something to wash it down. Bill, I'm telling you, you need to stop by this place.
Well, I'm right here near L.A., so you know that I'll be up there.
I know, buddy. It's just phenomenal. Anyhow, ladies and gentlemen, our next guest, he's become like a brother to me and to my team. Met him a couple of 3 years ago. We've been together ever since. He's loyal as hell. I don't think there's anything that we wouldn't do for each other. And it's an honor to have him on my show here tonight. Rocky, you out there from Arkansas?
Yes, I sure am.
How are you, brother?
Well, let me tell you, I'm sitting here and I found out that it was your 6th anniversary, and I opened up a fruit jar full of my brother's homemade whiskey, and I'm doing really good.
Well, let me have a drink on you, buddy. That's great.
I'm drinking to your anniversary.
Thanks, Rock. That means an awful lot to me. By the way, ladies and gentlemen, Rocky is one of our stops on the map on our next expedition. That's going to be, you're going to actually see him on film. You're going to hear him tell his story. And we'll be filming out there in Arkansas from the 17th to the 20th of next month. So when you see us and that the Bigfoot Hunter is coming through town, you'll know where we're going in Arkansas. You know, I got to tell you something, Rocky, and it just blows my mind to no end. The ordeal that we went with you and our friend the Swede not too long ago really had us at the edge of the chairs. I would like, and don't leave anything out, tell everybody what happened when you guys went there and what you experienced out there in the woods.
All right. I guess it was the first Thursday of August. My birthday was coming up. Me and the Swede, my number one sidekick, decided we was going to go out to our usual place and do our four-wheeling thing, and took a camera and kind of hoped that we'd see a big old hog or something to shoot. But we got out there about 6 o'clock on a Thursday morning, set up camp, and decided we'd just go ahead and take off and ride. And, well, sometimes we'd get a little carried away. And so we rode till Friday night. Well, we came back. We got back up to camp Friday night, and we were too tired to eat or anything, so we just went to bed. About 1:30, I woke up, and, well, I thought my buddy the Swiss was having some kind of major digestive problems because I smelled something so awful. But I was so tired, I gave it up and went back to sleep. Next morning, we got up and cooked some breakfast and sitting around drinking coffee, and we decided to hit the trail again. So we getting ready to go. I had a little soft side cooler that I had a whole bunch of fruit in. Well, I had it pulled up in a tree about 8 foot off the ground because we got lots of bears come into camp from time to time. And oddly enough, this was the first time we didn't have one come up. But I went to get the cooler down and get some fruit, something to throw in our bag so we'd have something to eat on the trail. Well, I walked over there where my cooler had been hanging in the tree, and my cooler was gone. The rope was broke. And, I just really didn't know what to think about that. And I was stomping around there cussing like a fool. And anyhow, my buddy, the Swede, he walked off down the trail, a little lane to the south of us. He called me over there, and he showed me some footprints that were 16, 18 inches long. And, we've seen them before, but not that close. And it walked within 10 foot of where I was sleeping. And so, you saw the pictures. You know what they were. So, anyhow, we decided it was time to look things over. We spent about 2.5 hours just crisscrossing until we finally found my cooler, and it was all tore up, and all my fruit was gone. So we tried to find the tracks. We was going to track it, and anyhow, up there in the woods where we are, right at the time we was having drought conditions. So we weren't doing very good at all, and so we decided what we'd do is I opened up some cans of fruit, opened up some cans of tuna, and we just put the bait out for the next night or for that night. But we've never built a fire. We don't do fires or lanterns or anything like that. When it gets dark, we go to bed. Instead of going to bed that night, I went and sat up above that lane behind a bunch of trees, man, my .44 Magnum. And the Swede went off down the other way, and he was hid out behind some trees with his little .454 Casull. Well, we'd sitting there. It was about midnight our time. Anyhow, my cell phone rang, and it was Rob Price. Well, I sit there. I was trying to whisper and all that, and was telling Rob what was happening and all that, and then I heard a little whistle. I told Rob, you know, I said I'll have to get back with you. Anyhow, I hung up and I was trying to figure out what was going on. Couldn't see anything. It was way after dark. Anyhow, then just all of a sudden the Hiroshima bomb went off. Robert fired on something. Well, we already had it planned. If the shooting started, we headed for the middle of camp and waited for the other one. Well, as you know, about the time I got to the middle of the camp, I was on the phone to you. And anyhow, the Swede was over there by his tree yelling, "Did I get it? Did I get it?" And I had no idea what he was talking about, so I told him, said, "I don't know where." And he said, "By the back of my van." I said, "Come show me." And he said, "I can't see." Because the fire, when the gun went off, I mean, it looked like Nagasaki blowing up all over again. So I ran over there and drug him out of the trees, and he told me where to go, and I was looking. I found tracks. I was all excited. I turned around and looked, and my buddy, the Swede, he's not a scary kind of a guy, but I guess the adrenaline rush was a little bit stout that go around because he was down on his knees, thought he was going to throw up. But anyhow, he talked to you then, and I started looking for tracks, which I found a track where when the gun went off, it peeled out and left a big print, which yesterday I went back out there and the print is still real, real faint, but you can see it. Found a second one where it looked like it had slipped, and then I found where its knee had gouged into the dirt, and well, I knew that we had him. And you know, I asked you what you wanted us to do, if you wanted us to wait and try to track it in the morning or go in after it then. And well, we went after it. Well, we searched for it until till I got home 1:30 Wednesday morning, and we really didn't do well. Well, we've been going out about every night after work and sitting out there and listening. Whenever we could get a day off, we'd go out there and we cut the trail 2-3 different times. And a few nights after the shooting took place, we were still thinking, you know, are we going to find it any time now? He had to have hit it. Well, we heard vocalizations down to the southwest of us, and we was all excited. And then we heard more due west of us, and seems as though they were the ones to the west of us was a lot higher pitched. And so we kind of got in our head that there may be a pair of them. But we've been out there just, well, like I say, since early August, we've been working it pretty hard. We've heard vocalizations. They were all pretty concentrated until we finally got rain, and then they kind of spread out since they had more water holes. We think that we've found the best place, the place that I would hide out if I was hiding out. And I think maybe we have a good chance of bringing one up out of the woods. We're not giving up. We've seen some hogs, we've seen some deer, but nothing over there in the area that we think that holds the most promise. But we went back a few nights after the shooting, or a few days, and I just couldn't believe that we hadn't found any blood or anything. So I watch CSI occasionally. So I got me a piece of string, and we tied off over at the tree where Robert had been sitting, and we checked it all out. Well, we eventually found the big hole inside of the tree, and all we can say is he missed it maybe an inch and a half, but you know, the Lord chose to put that tree there in the way. So but it's not over with, and you know how me and the Swede are. We're not going to quit. We're going to go out. We're going to be with it until either we get too old to do it, or we bring something out.
Well, you know what? I think I'd bet on you and the latter part. And I'll tell you something else. It's an honor to have you with us tonight, my brother, and I can't wait to see you next month, because I've been getting so many calls and so many emails from people about, you know, the whole story that went on, which we're going to expose, that went on years ago. And,
mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the guy who we become family. We virtually have become family. And we've been working very, very closely together. And you'll get us to see put a face with a name, because he'll be in the new movie, Bigfoot Lives 4.
Rocky. Well, I want to tell you, the Swede wanted to be on to talk tonight, but he's, you know, his business burnt down not long back, and he's working day and night trying to get it going, and he's been up since 3 o'clock this morning. He finally called me and said he just couldn't do it. He finally had to go to bed. But he's been
trying
to do it.
It'll be an honor to see him too, and tell him we totally understand. And just mute yourself out. We got a whole lot more show coming in here from Virginia and from New Mexico. Okay.
Okay. I'll see you 17th.
You got it, brother.
Okay, man.
Take care. We love you.
I'll bring some of this stuff that my brother made.
Oh, well, we'll love that stuff for sure. Thanks, partner.
You betcha.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. That's my good buddy Rocky from Arkansas, and I'll tell you what, we become very close. He's like family to us. We've been on the down low, but you're going to get to see that whole story in our new movie, Bigfoot Lives 4. And by the way, okay, we're looking for a new videographer, somebody who wants to get upcoming, that knows how to film and edit what he does, doing on rushes or dailies, and hopefully they got your own equipment. If not, we have our own digital camera that we'll be using, and you'll be able to come on this expedition. And let me just let everybody know the dates and where we're going to be. From October 10th to the 15th, Browning, Montana. October 17th to the 20th, Fayetteville, Arkansas. The 21st to 23rd, Choctaw, Mississippi. The 24th to the 25th, Manchester, Tennessee. The 26th to the 29th of October, Enterprise, Alabama. And October 30th to November 1st, Bryson City, North Carolina. Without any further ado, because I know we're running late and we've had a great show thus far, let's get out there to Virginia and see another one of our brethren, Anthony Rivera. Anthony, how are you?
All right, Tom.
Good to hear your voice, my friend.
I'm sorry?
I said it's good to hear your voice.
It is good to hear yours. I haven't talked to you in a while.
Yeah, I know. Well, we're not going to be too far from you. Maybe we can get in up there, and going to be in North Carolina. Maybe we can go and film that incident that happened up in that area for Bigfoot Lives 4, unless you've got something new coming in. What's happening?
Not too much new coming in, mostly because I've been pretty busy. But you know, I'm hoping to get back to those same areas, and you know, to look to see if there's anything that has changed. You know, just about every time I go there, it's you know, there's always a little bit of something, but it's just I'm not there consistently to, you know, to pick up on any patterns. But there's, you know, there's always something or somebody that I'll run into over there that'll tell me that, yeah, they did, you know, something weird is going on, you know.
What happened with the – what's that other guy's name up there in Virginia?
East Coast Jack.
Who?
East Coast Jack, is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Have you heard from him lately?
I haven't heard from him lately. The last few times that he and I have been out at night was, you know, it was pretty eventful. You know, he came, you know, you already know that he came to where I was. I went up to where he was at one time, which is, you know, we talked about in the past on your past show that, you know, we had a sighting when I was up there. And then he had come down into a friend's area not too far from where I'm at. And he did get to see something in the distance, but he wasn't, you know, 100% sure that if that was, it wasn't the creature, if it was somebody, you know, some walking in the distance. But it was, as far as the sounds, you know, all around us, that was very, very, very loud. So, you know, the kind of like the monkey chatter that was going on that last time that we were out. So.
Yeah, did you guys record that?
No, it seemed like every time we had, you know, he had his dish and recorder pointed in a certain area, you know, they'd be like, it would be like too low, you know, he'd play it back and it was like too low, it was like barely audible. But, and then, you know, when the sad part was when we packed up and we were leaving and then walking back in the woods, back to the truck, you know, that's when it got to be the noisiest. And then when we set up, you know, by the time we set up the power block mic again, you know, that's when it kind of got, you know, quiet. And then it was, you know, it was almost like if they were watching us, because we'd have it pointed one way, and then, you know, they'd be making noise in another direction. Yeah, so it's kind of frustrating to try to narrow down where it was. But
what's the weather like there?
It's got some cool nights. It's been in the 50s, but it's going to get warmer. Yeah, and it's kind of like it was last year. Actually, a little cooler than last year when you came and when we got that print.
Yeah. So let me see. I'm going to be in Virginia, Carolina, around the 1st of November. What's the weather like there? Cool?
Yes. It'll be cool.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. Now, how far are you from North Carolina?
Not too far, you know. Probably depending which way direction. If it goes straight south, I mean, it's less than an hour. But if I went, you know, a little south and east,
well, why don't you
check longer.
What's going on over there by the easeways and stuff, and if there's anything going on, let us know between now and the time we get up there, and we'll stop by and put it in the film.
Sounds good.
All right.
Sounds good. Love to have you around again.
Anthony, it'll be great seeing you one more time. I'll never forget it because you celebrated my birthday there by you, and what a birthday gift we got.
Yeah. Glad it was, everybody got to celebrate your birthday.
Yeah, we did. All right, brother. Well, listen, mute yourself out. We still got Dave Ortiz coming on from Four Corners, New Mexico, and it's always a delight having him in there, too. We'll talk to you soon. Be well.
All right. God bless. Bye now.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Anthony Rivera out there in Virginia. Great guy. Just a super guy. Him and his family. I can't wait to get to see him too. Let's go to commercial there, Bill.
1967. My whole life changed. I saw the Roger Patterson film on the Johnny Carson show. And I gotta tell you, that's the day I thought I was going to challenge the world and go out and find this thing.
We had found like 12 tracks in the ground. I didn't want to believe it was Bigfoot.
There he is.
He's moving right now.
He's moving right now.
He's
He's straight out of the tree line. He's moving to the right. See him? He's going to the right. He's going into the trees right now. Come here, look.
I'm Bob Hallmark, and I'm a reporter with ABC Television and Tyler Lundgren. It's been my pleasure to be with Tom Scotty and his team tonight, and I have to admit that I was skeptical when I came out here. I thought we, at this time in our history, had the technology to be able to find one of these things, if it existed. But after seeing the footprints and the dig marks in the sand and what I believe to be a very large creature running at a high rate of speed through the woods, I'm convinced I'm going to have to change my opinion on Bigfoot. I turned, I saw this thing standing by my gator.
When I saw the actual footprints, I realized they were something special and probably Sasquatch.
When I landed on the ground, I was kind of thinking, this ain't no human being. It's got to be something else.
www.searchingforbigfoot.com. We're back, Tom.
Ladies and gentlemen, that's the thing that started it all off for us. Bigfoot Lives. Went to Bigfoot Lives 2, Bigfoot Lives 3, Anatomy of a Bigfoot Hoax. And of course, the Hoax of the Century, which is coming up next month. And now, the Coup de Grace, Bigfoot Lives 4. You know when we're leaving. Marco's going to put it up on the website. Anybody has anything going on in those areas, wants to be in our movie, Bigfoot Lives 4, now will be your chance to have your 15 minutes of fame with us. Love to have you. Love to hear your story. Give us a call. Send us an email. Without any further ado, ladies and gentlemen, let's get out there to Four Corners, New Mexico, and see my other son, my son from a mother from another mother, Dave Ortiz. Dave, you out there?
I'm out here, Tom.
How are you?
Hey, I'm doing good.
Good. By the way, when you talk to Brenda, please express our heartfelt goodwill towards her husband on this transplant that he had and for a speedy recovery, okay?
I sure will. I'm talking to her almost every other day, actually. Even today, I chatted with her, and her husband's doing very well. His surgery went super. He had a kidney transplant, and he's taking it in really good. Still in Phoenix, but he's coming up pretty soon.
That's wonderful. I'm glad to hear it. By the way, you know, we're coming up on the migration of these creatures, and that's the reason why we're taking off.
Absolutely.
It's the most predominant time of the year as far as I'm concerned, and I've said it all along, and a bunch of people have copied me all throughout my 40-year plus tenure. But from, the 10th of October until right before Christmas, and then, of course, springtime,
yeah,
the end of March until June, you know, these things, they migrate, hold up for the winter, and then they come back out again.
They sure do.
What's going on over there? Anything?
Actually, I've heard a few reports talking with Brenda here in the valley. Things have been going around. I'm not sure if there's been any actual sightings, but there's been some circumstances happening in other people's homes in the area, in the river valley. And I actually had a little experience here the other week, too. I've been, I'm a musician, and I play up in the Durango area quite a bit lately. And I've been staying at a friend's house over in just north of Durango. And we were both in the hot tub and guitarist and just talking, you know, and there's a mountainside about 10,000 feet, about 1,000 foot higher than where his condo is. And I started hearing a German Shepherd barking just across the parking lot where this hot tub is. And I could see this German Shepherd just barking out a screen door. And then, no kidding, just right after, probably 5-6 seconds later, there was this, it sounded like a woof. And immediately after, a big roar with that woof sound. It was three times louder than the German Shepherd. And my friend freaked out. He says, "Dave, what the hell was that?" And I said, let's see if we can listen a little bit more. And it never did the same thing again. But I said, "Well, I think you have a friend up there on that hillside." And I said, "There's very few things that could roar like that." You know, we were trying to discern what it was. Different animals, mountain lion, bear, and I said, I don't think those, if it can go louder than that German Shepherd, and that thing's pretty loud, I think we have a creature up there. And he says, Dave, I've heard this thing about 2 or 3 times, in different nights. And before that, there was some coyotes sounding off. He told me about several days before, and they were like they were very agitated. So I have a feeling this is what they were barking at, or yelping at, I mean. So very interesting. I wish I had my digital recorder with me right there at the tub, but didn't expect anything like that, I had it in the condo. But, I was very intrigued by it. It had a woof-like tone and then just a roar. It's very similar to what we've heard with Bigfoot before. So because I didn't see it, I really couldn't discern it 100% as a Bigfoot, but there's just not very many animals that do that.
Wow. Wow. Well, we're going out on the 10th. We're going to be up in Brownie.
Uh-huh.
Montana, and then we're going to be in Fayetteville, Arkansas, and Choctaw, Mississippi, and Manchester, Tennessee, Enterprise, Alabama, and Bryson City, North Carolina. This is just for the next month. But, if you guys got anything hot going on, all you got to do is give us a call, and, we'll put you in the new movie.
Sounds great. Yeah, we sure will. I'll keep my eyes and ears open for that in the area.
By the way, because I know that you're into photography, if you know anybody that does any good good videographer wants to come in on the thrill of his life, that he has his own equipment and wants to come aboard, we'd love to have somebody like that. So
okay,
if you know anybody,
yeah,
put him in contact with us, would you?
Okay, sure will, Tom. Great.
Okay?
Okay, sounds great, Tom.
Listen, my best regards for the fast recovery for Brenda's husband. Thank you. Thank all our guests tonight. And hopefully next week we'll have our anniversary show and we'll have you back telling some of the best stories we ever did. Okay?
Sounds great, Tom.
Kudos and salutations. Till next time, America.
Well, folks, once again, it's time to say so long. We'd like to thank Mr. Tom Biscardi and his guests and the Bigfoot team for joining us, and we'd especially like to thank you, our listeners, for tuning in. This is Marco Bill saying see you next Wednesday evening for some more Bigfoot Live radio show entertainment with Mr. Tom Biscardi and his team. And until then, keep the Bigfoot live and keep Bigfooting. See you next week.
Three men with a gold and a pact that they'd hold and a promise till the day that they died. Answers to the questions no one's found before. Driving determination, the only key they had to unlock the door. Monsters, myths, and mysteries, legends, tales, and facts. We're falling together.